From Madrid to Sydney and New York to San Francisco, demonstrators protested the U.S.-led invasion and year-long occupation of Iraq this weekend. The marching and chanting took on particular poignance in Spain 10 days after coordinated bombings killed more than 200 people aboard commuter trains, and a week after a national election where voters turned out an entrenched government that had sent troops to help in the occupation of Iraq. Here with an update by phone is Josh Meyer. He reports on international terrorism for the Los Angeles Times. Good morning, Josh.
Good morning, Leanne.
Have Spanish authorities continued to focus their investigation of the Madrid bombings on Moroccan extremists with possible links to al-Qaeda?
Yes, actually. In fact, I was wondering if you're going to ask me if they were focusing on al-Qaeda.
Huh.
And the actual answer is they're not sure what al-Qaeda is anymore. And what they're very concerned about is that it is sort of local members of groups who are affiliated with or trained by or funded by al-Qaeda. And in this case, they're looking at a bunch of guys who they think might have even come from Morocco.
Well, let's talk about one. Jamal Zagam, a Moroccan national, he ran a cell phone shop in Madrid. He's now in Spanish custody. What role do investigators think he may have played?
Well, he was born in Tangier in Morocco, moved to Spain at an early age, and has been in contact with some high-ranking al-Qaeda officials. But also they believe that he has been in contact with somebody else who might even be more of a troublemaker, a guy named Ben Yaich from Morocco, who was in touch with Abdul Zarqawi and some others as well.
Talk about Abu Musab Zarqawi. Some investigators, as you say, suggest that he's a Jordanian, may have played a role in these bombings. First
right.
of all, remind us who he is and how he might be linked.
Well, Abu Musab Zarqawi has become somewhat of a Forrest Gump of al-Qaeda, as some people have called him. They're not even sure if he's really al-Qaeda or if he runs his own group, which has several names, al-Tawhid, others, that is either an affiliate or is linked or might be independent. But Zarqawi is clearly tied to a lot of the attacks that are going on in Iraq right now. He's been tied to the Casablanca attacks from last year, and he's been tied to the assassination of a U.S. diplomat in Jordan and many other attacks.
For the past several days, Pakistan's armed forces have engaged al-Qaeda fighters on the border with Afghanistan, and there were reports that a high-profile target has been trapped. Do you know anything about that?
Well, yeah, we've written about that. Unfortunately, the networks were going wall-to-wall with it from the very beginning and showing photos of Zawahiri, Ayman al-Zawahiri, or Zawahiri, who is Osama bin Laden's number two longtime confidant and personal doctor. But I've always been very skeptical of that. It's very hard to tell exactly who might be where in Pakistan. The Pakistan intelligence and military services have been in that area for about a month or so now. And so for somebody like Zawahiri to be staying around there, to me, was always a bit of a long shot. But they were engaged in fierce fighting with foreign fighters, and they believe that they had a high-value target among them. In fact, Pakistan President Musharraf said that on a live interview, and it was sort of off to the races. Right now, they're not sure who they have up there or what, but they have arrested at least 100 suspected militants and killed many more.
How important would it be if one of al-Qaeda's leaders were killed or captured at this point?
Well, I mean, there's been a lot of speculation about that over the last year or so. If it had been 2 years ago, it would have been extremely important if bin Laden's number two, Zawahiri, had been captured or killed. Right now, the group has flattened and decentralized to the point where, as I said, it's hard to say that there really is such a thing as an al-Qaeda anymore, except as an ideology. I mean, the group had always been sort of an agglomeration of other terrorist organizations who had all gotten together and had sort of sent emissaries to be, or leaders to be part of sort of a group of chairmen of al-Qaeda representing their regional and local groups. But that's become even more of a case in the last year or so, where the groups have split up and moved around the world. I mean, so it would be important, but it wouldn't be. It would not break the back of al-Qaeda.
Josh, in less than the minute we have left, members of President Clinton's national security team, Secretary of Defense, Secretary of State Madeleine Albright, counterterrorism advisor Richard Clark, scheduled to testify this week before the 9/11 Commission. Have you heard anything about the testimony that's expected?
Well, I can't wait, and I think that you might see some fireworks out of Richard Clark. Richard Clark had been the head of counterterrorism in the White House for about 11 years, first under President Clinton and then under President Bush, and he's coming out with a book in the next week or so, and he's going to be on 60 Minutes tonight, I guess. testifying about how he was sort of a lone voice in the wilderness for many years, especially in the first year of the Bush administration, calling for more to be done about al-Qaeda and its rising threat, and that the threat fell on deaf ears.
Josh Meyer reports on terrorism for the Los Angeles Times. Josh, thanks very much.
You're welcome.